In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have had the experience many times, but usually it has involved conversations that I'm only overhearing and not directly engaged in. I've heard it said in surgical and ICU unit waiting rooms and treatment rooms. I've heard it said at the scenes of catastrophic accidents, natural disasters. I've heard it at the grocery store, spoken by a complete stranger to another complete stranger on their very first meeting, when second said stranger revealed a very sudden and unexpected job loss. I have heard it from fans of teams that have dug themselves a formidable hole during league playoffs due to only their own failure to play well. What I heard in each case was the simple phrase, "You just gotta believe." Now, if you're at all wired, like I am, when you hear such a thing, the very next thought in your mind is, believe what? Believe in what? Believe in the abilities of the surgeon, the procedure, the miracle medication? Believe in the EMTs that come to the accident scene? The insurance company that's going to bail you out? Government resources available to you in unemployment or the recovery of the economy? Am I supposed to believe solely in myself that somewhere within me I will find the fortitude to match that moment and be confident and hopeful despite everything that may appear to be just the opposite? Whatever our circumstance may be, knowing what we are supposed to be trusting, knowing who we're supposed to be trusting in, should be a major player in our decision-making process of determining whether or not we're actually going to find in that moment the ability to actually believe. Unless it is actually God standing beside you, and the creator of your universe and the savior of your soul is the one telling you, don't be afraid, just believe. Then you do exactly what he says. Again, unless you are the Macedonian Christians who had been victims of horrendous persecution and then poverty as a result of that persecution, then you respond with generous offerings, generous expressions of thanksgiving to God. Offer those sacrificial offerings in support of gospel ministry to others. Again, unless you are Old Testament Hebrew believers reading the lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah, you mournfully listen to the prophet as he expresses for your entire nation, your people, the bottomless grief and sorrow over the devastation of your country and the region. Invading armies have carried out God's promised judgment. They've been agents of his prophetic word in punishing his chosen people for their unfaithfulness. But then you grab onto Jeremiah's simple saving truth that the sun has risen again on a new day. That means your Savior God is still giving you another chance. God has plans to show you his mercy and his goodness, in direct contrast to your sinfulness and your rebellion. And God is still going to make something of your relationship with him in this world and for all eternity, if you but listen and follow his voice and his will in his inspired word. And again, unless you are a desperate man whose daughter was not only dying, but had actually died by the time he arrived back home, with Jesus to hear, Jesus speaks stunning words. Amazing words. Let's hear them again. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. In the interim here, Jesus actually is stopped by a woman who's bleeding and does another miracle on the way to Jairus' house. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This miracle is so tender and yet so triumphant. We simply cannot imagine the soaring joy of experiencing a dear loved one returned from death. Some of us may have experienced something similar in the course of our lives, with someone special to us being in an awful accident or suffering from a terrible disease that each come that close to taking their life, only to see them not only live through it, but thrive beyond it. But none of us has actually experienced a dead, cold, porcelain white body instantly regain its warmth and its vitality, its energy. The way that Jesus went about this, waking this little girl from the sleep of death, helps us understand better just how human and compassionate our Savior brother truly is. We could spend a lot of time examining the details of this miracle, but there's something I would like to do instead and point you back a little earlier in the lesson to another miracle that you may have overlooked. Maybe you overlooked that same miracle as it occurred in each of the lessons appointed to this day. It's the miracle of faith. It is the miracle of how any sinful human soul, any human being at all, could ever even begin to trust and believe the Savior God, against the tide of cynicism and unbelief that flows abundantly through every single one of us. It does not matter if it was the stalwart faith of Jeremiah's battered and beleaguered Hebrew audience. It could be the unflinching faith of the destitute Macedonians in the face of persecution, or the against all odds hopeful faith of Father Jairus. Each example of faith in the lessons of the day, that faith is generated by the Holy Spirit through the eternal word. And that faith is a miracle. How can I say that so confidently and unequivocally? With such certainty? Because all human faith, trust, hope, belief in the eternal triune God is a miracle. Make just that premise a pursuit of study in the scriptures, and you will see it spoken, verified over and over and over again. But at this moment, narrow your focus to just Jairus. Stand in his sandals. Wear his mortally wounded heart. He had come to Jesus trusting, with trusting hope that Jesus would come to his home and make everything right in an awful situation that was anything but. We don't know how many physicians, how many prescriptions and procedures, or how many hours of anguish this faithful man had endured at the point that he finally left to go fetch Jesus. What we do know is that the Holy Spirit led Jairus to point all of his hope of healing for his daughter at Jesus. He had succeeded at getting to Jesus and getting Jesus to come with him to his home. But now as they neared home, he was met with the news that had to hit him like an avalanche cascading down a mountain. Just overwhelming. His daughter had died. It was over. His beloved was dead. And despite everything racing through his shattered heart and rattled mind, despite everything that he heard in that moment from friends and neighbors and family members, relatives who had already gathered to mourn his grievous loss, he heard Jesus' words spoken specifically and directly to him. He heard them. He heeded them. He embraced them and he held them close. They were words of hope in a hopeless situation. If this all depended on merely human answers, in that moment, no hope of changing this awful outcome existed. But the voice speaking those words to him, "Don't be afraid, just believe," was more than just a human voice. The brother whose voice was speaking those more than human words was more than just another human brother. Jesus had convinced Jairus to believe that he was more. That Jesus had the power of the eternal God at his disposal, and he was able and willing to use it. Jairus believed, and his belief kept his fear at bay. Jairus believed, and Jesus proved this broken man's faith was in the true God. who can and will live up to every single promise he has ever made. And the events that unfolded next proved Jairus' faith was well placed and proved Jesus to be everything he claimed to be, leaving Jairus no doubt of who Jesus actually was. But that's actually the whole point of this moment of spiritual conversation today. You and I know who Jesus is. And you and I know what Jesus can do. Jesus can raise the dead. Jesus did raise the dead. And that proved him to be God in human flesh. And yet, Jesus allowed himself. He actually chose and caused himself to die, even though he clearly held the power of death. He did that in a way that fulfilled every promise of a gracious God and ultimately paid for every human soul. At the moment that he raised himself from death on the third day, after his own voluntary journey into death, Jesus proved himself capable of anything and everything that he intends to do for each and every one of us to make sure that we will live with him forever, that we will be a part of his eternal kingdom. So think that through for a moment. Think that through in a manner that was not available to Jairus. Because you have so many more tools to process this than poor Jairus did on that worst, best day of his earthly life. You have an historical and yet eternal book filled with facts about your Creator God, and with promises from your Creator as well. You now have a brother in Jesus who has left this earth and returned to the throne of heaven after his successful mission to pay for your sins and guarantee you eternal life. But in the last moments of his existence, that is as much a human existence as you are experiencing it right now, he said to you, I am with you always, to the very last moment of time. So no matter where you are, no matter what you are experiencing, no matter what is going on in your life, in your community, in your country, no matter if it is the very worst possible moment you could have ever imagined for yourself, like the death of a dearly loved child, or if it is on the opposite end of the spectrum, a moment in which it appears all of your dreams are being fulfilled like you could have never imagined either. Either way, your Creator, your Savior, your brother, Jesus, is always standing at your side, saying to you in that moment the very same words he said to Jairus. In those moments, it is eternally vital to hear Jesus' voice. So in those moments, take a deep spiritual breath and a physical breath as well, because both are necessary. And thank your Savior, Lord, for both of his promises and his working faith in your heart to trust those promises. Because it is, after all, the biggest difference between those of us who believe and everyone who doesn't. In those biggest, worst moments of life, you and I stand on solid, certain ground with the specific promises of God echoing in our ears and speaking hope to our hearts. No other source of potential answers and possible hope can ever be as certain as Holy Scripture. It is from God. It is eternally true and is also all about you living eternally and knowing God's eternal love in full. Jairus had that surrounding him that day as he walked with Jesus to his home. The Macedonians had that, as well as the despondent citizens of fallen Jerusalem. A believer simply knows, because his God has created that knowledge and trust in his heart. A believer simply knows, when experiencing it, this. This is another one of those moments. When Jesus is standing with me, whispering in my ear, straight to my heart, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Amen.